mind. Mary Baker Eddy, through her research and study of the Bible, determined that there are seven synonymous terms which define God. Mind is one of those terms. The focus of this treatment will be on the term mind. The other six terms are spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. There are also four operators, and they are termed the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. In mathematics, there are 10 digits from 0 to 9, and there are four operators, which are add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Any single digit or group of digits by themselves mean nothing. Significance comes about when they are related to the operators. 1 times 7, related to the seven synonymous terms for God, have meaning. But 1 or 7 by themselves mean nothing. And the same with the operators. 1 times 4, operators, has significance. To effectively understand better what Mary Baker Eddy has discovered and delivered to the world through the textbook of Christian Science, which is titled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, it is a good idea to get an understanding of the levels. For example, if one is discussing a so-called human situation, that is considered a relative level and relates to the term Christian Science. It is called the Christian Science level. This is the lowest level because it includes the nitty-gritty of daily life, where we are relating something about ourselves or someone else or an event or a government or anything that includes so-called humanity. The highest level is termed science, and that is considered to be only an absolute level of thought. In other words, what is God? And consideration of God being omnipresent, omnipotent, omniaction, omniscient. In other words, only contemplation of the qualities of God, the Word of God, the facts about God, and not really blending that with anything lower than the absolute. In mathematics, the absolute number 1 has no negativity to it. It is not variable. In the science of divine metaphysics, which is what we are referring to in this treatment, there is no variableness about the facts of God. We can reach for it, and that progress of going to a higher level means that there is a mix between where we seem to be and the level to which we are striving to obtain as we purify consciousness and replace the relative thought with an absolute thought. We can't really mix the absolute with the relative because the facts about God cannot be diluted. They can't be deflected. There can be no competition or opposition to the facts about God, because God is absolute. God is perfect. If one considers the synonymous term spirit, which represents substance, one must recognize and accept the fact that substance is spirit. It is not so-called matter, and therefore it is flawless and transparent, and therefore reflective, but it has not a speck of impurity, not a single flaw. When Jesus saw someone on the roadside, as he may be walking along, as he did with Barnabas, the blind man, or Tabitha, the dead child, he had to view them through the lens of spirit as being flawless, not as being a partly child of God, but as a pure, genuine, complete individual that was perfect. So Jesus obviously knew the facts about God, which was the Word, and he noticed that there seemed to be a false representation of the manifestation of God, and therefore he recognized that he needed to translate instantly from the false view to the spiritual view. He didn't say, this person is partly blind, or Tabitha is partly dead. He said the man had perfect vision, this was mentally, and Tabitha is not dead, but sleepeth. So one needs to be aware of the lower level, which is the relative level, to recognize the problem and then relate the truth about the situation to the particular problem in order to purify consciousness and bring about the healing. So the process involves to recognize the relative and convert it to the absolute. On page 115 and 116 in Science and Health, Mary Baker Eddy gives us some very definite clues regarding how to recognize the various levels. This is from the chapter number 6 entitled Science, Theology, Medicine. Also in chapter 12, which is titled Christian Science Practice, beginning on page 430, line 13, Mary Baker Eddy makes this statement. I here present to my readers an allegory illustrative of the law of divine mind and of the supposed laws of matter and hygiene. An allegory in which the plea of Christian Science heals the sick. It is highly recommended that one study those pages 115 to 116 referred to previously about the levels and how to recognize the level in which one is contemplating, as well as the second reference beginning on page 430, which is the allegory. The allegory is really a mental court case, and that is the title of the first subparagraph after the introductory paragraph just read. One might get fearful in even thinking about being in court. In other words, going to a building in which the main business is court deciding innocence and guilt on individuals about themselves or individuals that may be representing an association or a group or a company or a government or anything at all that is an official way to determine innocence and guilt. One thinks of a judge, a prosecutor, a defense, and the subject, and the facts about the case. And if one never has been in a situation like that, it may be tempting to be fearful of it. But in fact, every moment of our life is a court case. One is dealing with the so-called personal senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, and they are influencing one's thought. And one has to negotiate with that thought to filter what is going to be permitted to be accepted into consciousness. One might decide, well, I will accept this, but I won't accept that. Or I will accept everything. It looks and sounds and feels, tastes or smells really good, very tempting, and perfect even. So in that particular instance, we are negotiating with our own conscience versus what is presented to us through the personal senses. We are using a fan to separate, or we're using a filter of some kind. It could be a screen. It could be a lens. Or it could all be just mental. But even mentally, we are utilizing those tools, whether they are immediately definable as an object or not. So instead of being fearful of a court case, like this allegory that is presented, we must face with courage and understanding, which gives us courage, about the facts about God. The facts about what Mary Baker Eddy defines as God, which is the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Helen Wright, a co-founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, was a prolific writer on the topic of Christian Science and divine metaphysics, science of the Bible, and the science of Christianity. And the last book she wrote is entitled Your Divinity Revealed. And that book offers her translation of what Mary Baker Eddy meant by the definition of God with those seven terms that were just mentioned, as well as an introduction to the four operators previously mentioned. There is a chapter on each one of the seven terms, and it's highly recommended that one study those chapters, in fact, the entire book, if one wants to learn about what God is. And everything she writes is in full support of what Mary Baker Eddy wrote beginning back in the mid-1800s. Helen Wright's published writings are also available from the website. Mary Baker Eddy states that one must know what the problem is on a human level, and that is to be discovered through research. And Chapter 5 of Science and Health is entitled Animal Magnetism Unmasked. And that is a valuable chapter to do the research on the problem and unmasking it so it can be revealed, exposed totally, which then enables one to more readily recognize, totally exposing it and eradicating it. Frederick L. Rawson is one of the greatest researchers relating to the science of divine metaphysics, specializing in both the Christian Science level, which is the relative, and the science level, which is the focus on God, the top level. And he wrote very valuable books on these topics. And one of those publications is entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. It is really an encyclopedia of every problem one could imagine, with a statement, very thoroughly researched, about how to heal it, because it includes the counterfact on what is presented on the relative level. And Mary Baker Eddy states that that's exactly what we need to do. We need to know what the problem is. We need to deny that it is a reality and explain the reason why. The book, which I termed as an encyclopedia, is so valuable in that respect. It's alphabetically organized and, again, available on our website. And it is fully indexed, so one could go immediately to the problem that they want to be solving and immediately get to the information that would be helpful. Mr. Winslow is another author that has written 122 articles that are bound in 4 books, and they also cover a wide range of topics. He was one, through his work, that raised an individual from the dead, or rather, the belief of death. Bicknell Young is another fine Christian Science practitioner. And in his particular case, he personally experienced drowning. And his account of that experience is very informative and interesting and provides valuable experience on how to handle that particular experience and similar ones. For the principle is the same, no matter what the topic. Different people will approach their method in different ways, because out of all 8+ billion people that are on planet Earth, no two are identical. And it is clear, both in the Bible, Mary Baker Eddy's writings, and the writings of other fine students of metaphysics, focusing on Christian Science, have stated clearly that everyone must work out their own salvation. And Mary Baker Eddy says, if we tend to our own affairs, we will be too busy to meddle in the affairs of someone else. Dr. Fluno, who was one of Mary Baker Eddy's students, wrote about criticism. And that is also on our website, extremely valuable, for it helps one to understand the value of letting everyone work out their own salvation. Jesus, nor Mary Baker Eddy, tried to force their views on anyone else. And Mary Baker Eddy specifically stated that when she made a recommendation to someone, if they didn't do it willingly, she would realize that they weren't ready to understand the scientific nature and reason why she was making the recommendation, so she would then tell them, never mind. In the beginning of this recording, it was stated that the focus would be on mind. However, it is important to understand that with God, nothing is in isolation. If one wants to focus on mind, that certainly can be the focus, but mind is not in isolation. And if one desires to focus on mind, automatically one will recognize the inner weaving, the network of all of the elements of God. And we've already discussed some of them here, such as spirit and soul. And one could not discuss mind in any degree of thoroughness, or even hardly touch on it, without also having thoughts about how it works with the other synonymous terms, as well as working with the various elements of mind itself with each other. For example, mind represents creative ability, intelligence, knowing, wisdom, action, functionality, facility, capacity. If one just thinks about a combination of those terms, one can see that power is a result of measuring action, and action comes from creative ability as well as functionality, facility, capacity. And if one wants intelligent and knowing and wise action, which means the power would then be the result of all of those excellent qualities of mind, then one cannot just think about one quality of mind. In the same way, one cannot just think about one synonymous term for God, but has to consider a much broader spectrum, and does automatically. If one opens consciousness to the truth and permits messages to be received through that lens, through the sanctuary of spirit, there is absolutely no limit to what may be received as one is contemplating the main topic. Whatever comes in is very likely to be directly related to what one needs to be aware of about the situation that was considered at the onset of the time set aside to devote to the particular topic. It is so easy for one to forget about time or anything else, eating, sleeping, anything outside of the realm of thought that is directly related in letting these spiritual messages flow becomes of little or no importance, because one is communing directly with the Absolute. And the communication is one way. Mr. Winslow, the one that was the author of the 122 articles noted previously, in one of his articles he says to consider being in a room where there's a radio and a telephone. And the radio, of course, we know is one-way communication. Or let's think of it as one way. I know there's two-way radios that are available, but think of it as being just a radio that is broadcasting. And think of the telephone as being bidirectional, which they are. Two people can be conversing. So it's receiving and sending. And he says, think about the radio being tuned in to the station KOG, which is the kingdom of God. So the only thing that one would receive in the way of messages would be from God, the Absolute, the whole number one, completeness, wholeness, perfection, spiritual things, things full of life, things that have a divine principle, that are in balance, always operating, systematized and structured, in order. Nothing but the truth. No error involved at all. And we're conscious of it. Another quality of truth, consciousness. And there's love surrounding the whole thing, because God does not give us only a small piece of something, but everything about God is complete and whole. In fact, love includes the terms of plan and design, which means that completeness and wholeness is a part of the plan and design, which is the messages from God. I like to think of love being a lubricant. Oil is one of the terms that relate to love. And by lubricant, I mean that it makes everything work together. No friction, no noise. It is silent of any material distractions, any fakes, any diversions, any interference. It's out of the question. Oil dissolves it all. in thinking about mind, enlightenment is a key point. And of course, that is what creative ability is all about, because it's a new idea to the individual that is listening. It's not new to divine mind, because everything is all-knowing to mind. An individual may, as Mr. Rawson states, regroup ideas and put them together in a fashion that gives a concept of a brand new result, like the telegraph, telephone, then wireless, space travel, overcoming time and space. The possibilities are infinite, because God is infinite. Mary Baker Eddy states that infinite progression is concrete being. So the only thing that is permanent is constant progression. That means we are opening our thought, our consciousness, to a greater and greater aperture, receptivity, acknowledging more and more truth, and living it. Ceaseless prayer is living the truth without any variance. Mary Baker Eddy states that one of the biggest things that affects progress is how one uses the moments. A moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. Are we letting our thought drift away from spirit? In everything we do, we need to keep thought on the spiritual nature of what we're doing. Mr. Rawson states that we should be able to demonstrate every material or so-called material activity. He was in a shooting match. He was a great sportsman. And he recognized that having a gun, pulling a trigger, and looking at a target was not really what it was about. What it really was about was gaining one's thought, one's concept about oneness with our dear Father, Mother, God. He turned away from the target, closed his eyes, and thought about God. And when he had his thought very clear, he then pulled the trigger, not looking at the target, looking away from the target with his eyes closed. And you can imagine that he had a bullseye. He wasn't competing with other people. He was negotiating with his own consciousness until he got it open with a wide aperture, letting the thoughts, the messages, the idea of God become very clear to him. The things from God are considered messages, not really thoughts. Angel messages. A thought is what we do with the message. He excelled in everything he did. He was chosen to research Christian Science by a noted worldwide newspaper back in the early 1900s. Because he was respected as a engineering consultant in electricity. And he utilized his skill and knowledge of electricity to prove, and also chemistry, to prove that the DNA of the body actually changed when one goes through the healing process. In other words, the DNA was shorted out. The electrical pulses going through the body was shorted out that were negative to perfection. Where there was a problem, it was shorted out and replaced with another field of electricity. And that's why the visible, or if it was an invisible problem, you know, feeling, for example, a pain or something, just as an example, that it was fixed internally. He knew nothing about Christian Science. He had never heard of it. But he was respected as a Bible student and as the finest engineer anybody could find for solving problems in the areas mentioned. And so they thought he would be a good choice to do research on this new thing called Christian Science. Well, he ended up becoming, as you know from what I've already said, one of the finest practitioners ever known to the Christian Science field. He was watching out a window with another Christian Science practitioner. And this was back, you know, I don't know what year, but, you know, very early 19 or 1910 or, you know, whatever, in that time frame before automobiles and trucks were common. And there was a man with a wooden cart being drawn by an animal loaded with rocks. And the man felt something was wrong, and so he stopped the animal and went back to look at the tailgate of the cart. And just as he was back there behind the cart of rocks, the cart full of rocks, something alarmed the animal, and the animal raised up and dumped the entire cart full of rocks on the man. And when Mr. Rawson saw this, and the other fellow with him also, they were both gazing out the window, probably discussing Christian Science, because they were both high-level Christian scientists in their understanding. Anyway, when Frederick Rawson saw this occur, He made one statement, five words. There is nothing but God. With that, the man came up through the pile of rocks like a rocket. I mean, he wasn't clawing his way out. I mean, he was probably, probably dead. Probably instant death. I don't know. It didn't mention that. But he came out of there like a rocket. Totally unharmed, without a scratch. He walked around and got on the cart and apparently drove away or whatever. The point is, he was totally unharmed. Well, there's an example of not doing something physical to solve the problem. The rocks didn't have to be taken off of the man. The tomb that had a cover on it, probably a huge boulder where Jesus was laid after his crucifixion. There's no evidence anyone physically moved that. The door seemed to have been open, left open. I can't imagine Jesus pushing it out of the way. Mary Baker Eddy transported herself, or God did it, rather, from Concord, New Hampshire to the West Coast. She stayed there for 2 weeks and then went back to Concord. She didn't take any kind of transportation. She was there instantly. If our understanding is at the level it needs to be to overcome time and space, then it's done. Again, I mentioned Mr. Rawson because he had such a healing in time and space that he was able to heal retroactively, which means the healing took place before he was notified to work on the case. Because when he was notified to work on the case, he worked on it understanding that there is no time or place and nothing could interfere with the power of God that knows nothing about limitation of time or space. And the healing took place prior to the time that he gave the treatment. That's in two of his books, the one already mentioned, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, and it's also in a book he wrote called Life Understood. There's more to that title. I think it's from Spiritual Viewpoint or something like that. Again, it's on the website. Mind is a great place to begin, although one can begin anywhere. In fact, Maria Brunson, also on our website, is one that indicated and explains in great detail how to do this, and that is to begin wherever the thought comes to you to begin, the message. And you can work forward or backwards. The days of creation, which are in Genesis of the Bible, chapter 1, through the first three verses of chapter 2, they are in a very specific order, and each one of the days relates to one of the seven synonymous terms for God. And they are in the order that Mary Baker Eddy defines God on page 465 in Science and Health, a chapter entitled Recapitulation. And I cited that definition earlier in this treatment. So if the thought comes to one to think about life, one can focus on that and then move up to truth and love, which are the next two in the order, love being the seventh, because love is representing wholeness, completeness. And so it automatically includes the fact that one has overcome the limitation on the topic at hand on the six previous ones. But if the thought comes to begin at life, as an example, and they seem to have the problem when thinking about life, then they have to move down to a lower number of the seven synonymous terms. So she indicates that one should go back to principle, which is the one before life. You know, it's mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So she says, go back to principle and see if there's anything wrong in what you are doing or what you're thinking about that violates the law of principle. And of course, this is another reason to be studying Helen Wright's book on Your Divinity Revealed, because she takes each of those synonymous terms and thoroughly explains what it's all about and how the various qualities within one synonym work within themselves as well as with other ones. So anyway, Maria Brunson explains about going back down the ladder, so to speak, where you start at mind and then you climb up to spirit and soul, principle, life, truth, and love being the top. Because we have to get the idea first, the enlightenment, and that's from mind. So that's why I mentioned it as being the bottom rung on a ladder. But one can start anywhere. If the idea of love comes to thought first, work from there. And if you have problems there, then you have to go back down to truth, which is the one before love. Anyway, Maria explains all this, and she has several seminars, again, all of which are on the website. Very, very valuable. Very valuable. I studied those for a long time to get an understanding of how that all networks together and so forth. Well, I say get an understanding. There's no end to the understanding. There's no end to working with any particular idea because they're all infinite. All source, which includes all manifestation, that's mind. God is all. There's nothing limited about God. Everything that exists is either a direct statement about God or God's manifestation, which is included as God. God includes God's manifestation. I am so delighted to be fortunate enough to know about Christian Science, to even know that it exists, so that one, myself, I'm referring to, could take a serious study, which is continuous, about what it's all about. I don't know what anyone does without Christian Science. It amazes me that people are satisfied thinking about Jesus being God. But again, everyone has to work out their own salvation. And Mary Baker Eddy says, it's not our business to be making decisions for others or criticizing them. Everyone must work out their own salvation. Mr. Rawson states, we should never criticize anyone because we all know so little. I had previously mentioned Dr. Fluno, who did really a fine article on criticism. That, by the way, is available in both MP3 and PDF on the website. Mary Baker Eddy states, God is all in all. The first all being a capital A, meaning source. The second one a small a, meaning our individual experience. There is nothing but God. Amen.